We are celebrating today, liturgically, the Feast of the Most Holy Body and Blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. We sometimes shorten all that to Corpus Christi Sunday. There's more Latin for you all, young folks. Body of Christ, that's what it means, the body of Christ. And it is a Sunday where the church asks us to reflect on the reality of Christ in the Eucharist and our response to that. So today, as we reflect, I want to preach on this particular title: Are You a Mouse or a Man? Are you, maybe put it first, are you a man or a mouse? And here, women, I mean man in the inclusive, all of us. Are we a mouse or a man? And I'm not going to tell you what that title means right now. I'm going to ask you to stay tuned, and it'll make sense toward the end, at least I hope. Today, first of all, let's look at the reality of the Eucharist, of Holy Communion, of the sacrament of the Lord's body and blood. What we want to specifically reflect on, and what the church teaches us very clearly today in the Eucharist, is that this Holy Communion that we receive as you come up the aisle later on in Mass is not simply some ordinary bread. It is not just a wafer or a piece of ordinary bread. It is not simply a symbol of Jesus. It is not simply some sort of analogy or metaphor for Jesus. It actually is Jesus. It is His body. It is His blood, His soul, and His divinity. You receive, if you will, the whole Christ. The whole Christ, risen and glorious. You know, we want to be careful not to think, okay, it's really Jesus, so I'm getting a piece of His flesh. No, you're getting the whole Jesus, all right? The whole Jesus Christ. In His glorified humanity, His glorified divinity, His soul and His whole self, you receive the whole Christ. Now, with that in mind, I want to look at some scriptures, and I'm going to ask all of us to just think a little bit about what some of these scriptures mean, because the scriptures do teach very consistently that the Eucharist, Holy Communion, is not just a symbol or a sign or something of Christ, but actually is Christ. Now, the first one is a very familiar passage because we say it at every Mass. I'm reading from the version in Luke's Gospel, but there's a similar version in Matthew and Mark, and also in 1 Corinthians 11, where Paul reflects on the words of Jesus at the Last Supper. The words of Jesus at the Last Supper. And it simply says here that Jesus took bread, and when He had given thanks, He broke it and gave it to them and said, "This is My body, which is given up for you." And then He said, "Do this in remembrance of Me." And then likewise over the cup, "This is the cup of My blood of the new and everlasting covenant. This is My body, this is My blood." Now notice He doesn't say this is a sign of Me or a symbol. He says it is Me. Now be careful here too, because in modern English, when we hear the word body, we think the physical aspect of who I am, my flesh and my bones, if you will, the physical aspect. But in the ancient biblical tradition, to say this is my body doesn't just simply mean the physical part of me. Basically, what Jesus is saying is, as He hands the bread to them, He says, "This is no longer bread, this is Me, whole and entire. This is all of Me." So when you come up to receive communion, you don't receive, I don't want to be a little graphic, but let's just do it. We're not carving off pieces of Jesus' flesh and handing it out. It's not like you come up for the steak, you know. Are you praying with me? You're receiving the whole Christ. Jesus says, "This is Me." And so it is that we acknowledge first and foremost that we come up today and Jesus says to us, "This is Me." So when you hear the expression, the body of Christ, don't just simply think of his physical aspect. It includes that, but even more, not just his body, but also his soul, his divinity, his and the whole Christ. Body, blood, soul, divinity. Now, the other thing that he says is when he says, "This is my blood." Here too, we have to understand it more than what we moderns think. When we hear the word blood, we think of that liquid that courses through our veins and arteries. And it means that, but it means more than that. Because for a Jewish person of Jesus' time, blood meant life. Take away the blood, and what do you have? A dead body. But have blood, and you have life. Life was in the blood. And so when Jesus says, "This is my blood," he is saying, "This is my very life for you." This is not just the physical aspect of what goes through my veins and arteries. This is me, my life, my grace, my glory in you. So you see the vision here. We don't want to reduce things to merely the physical. It is that, but it's so much richer. Now, just a little technical thing that sometimes I get asked about Holy Communion. As you know, we give Holy Communion under the form of the host and also the cups filled with the precious blood. And someone will say to me, "Do I have to receive from the cup?" Some people are anxious about that. Maybe they have a cold they don't want to share, or maybe they tend to get colds, and there may be things that kind of make a person a little squeamish about receiving from the cup. And the answer is, no, you don't need to receive from the cup, because in the host, you receive again the whole Christ, all of Christ, living, the living glorified Christ. It includes his blood already. And so it is possible for you to simply receive the host, and even in the smallest particle of the host is contained the whole Christ. Now, there are actually a few people in the congregation who have come to me and said, "Father, I can't receive the host because I have an allergy to things that have to do with bread." And so I say, then go right to the cup. Because even in the smallest drop of the precious blood, you receive the whole Christ. You see what I'm trying to teach you this morning? Let's not become a little bit too simplistic in our thinking that we're getting a slab of flesh. We're not. We're getting the whole Christ. We're getting all of him, body, blood, soul, and divinity, every aspect of who Jesus is. So the first thing the church wants us to reflect on today is we don't just receive a sign or a symbol. We receive Jesus himself and the whole Jesus. Now, some other text says here, we heard it today at Mass, it was proclaimed. "The cup of blessing that we bless, is it not in fact a partaking of the blood of Christ? And the loaf that we eat of, is it not in fact a partaking of the body of Christ?" So again, Paul teaching us in the scripture that don't think of it as an ordinary cup of wine or an ordinary loaf of bread. It is not. You may call it bread, but in fact, it is the body of Christ. In fact, it is the blood of Christ. It is Christ himself that we receive. And then we also hear in Luke 24 and verse 35, remember the two disciples on the road to Emmaus? And it said that at the end of that journey, they went in with Jesus and he took the bread, he blessed it and he broke it and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were open and they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. And again, the scripture teaching us that we are called to see Christ in the Eucharist that we celebrate. And another passage I'm going to go through in some more length is the gospel for today, John 6 and verse 51. And in it, the Lord gives a rather extended teaching where he's very clear to disabuse us of any notion that he's talking just symbolically. He stands before the Jewish people in the gospel today, and he says, "I am the living bread come down from heaven." Already they start grumbling. The text says in the Greek that they're murmuring. They start to murmur. And they say, you know, how can this guy say he came down from heaven? He's just one of us. I am the living bread come down from heaven. And then this really upsets them. I am the living bread come down from heaven for a person to eat and never die. Eat? And they start to object and they start to grumble. And Jesus says, let me make it clear. My flesh is real food and my blood is real drink. And you must eat my flesh and drink my blood, or you'll have no life in you. At this point, there's an uproar in the crowd. And Jesus says, does it upset you? And when they object even more strongly, the Lord doesn't back down and say, listen, I'm just talking about symbolism. When I'm dead and gone, please have a meal in my memory. That's not what he doesn't say that, does he? He doesn't say, I just mean symbolically it's me. He doesn't say that. In fact, not only does he not say that, he becomes even more graphic. And he switches the verbs in Greek. You don't pick it up in the English, but in the Greek language, and I see I've been talking to you all about Latin, now I'm going to talk to you about Greek. He says in the Greek language, he starts out by saying, you must eat my flesh and drink my blood. And he uses an ordinary Greek word for eating, phagete. It just means to eat. It's the normal, polite word. I'm going to go eat a meal, phagete, you know. So we have here that verb, but when they object, he says, amen, amen, I say to you. In other words, let me solemnly assure you. And then he says in the Greek, not phagete, but he uses trogon, which is a Greek word that speaks about eating, but in a very impolite way. Literally, what it means is to gnaw on something, to chew or munch. An impolite way of eating. Are you praying with me? So again, Jesus gets very graphic with them. He says, I want to solemnly assure you that if you don't gnaw, chew, and munch on my body and devour my blood, you have no life in you. Okay, that's it. The deal's off. If you read John chapter 6, you're going to find out that most people that day heard him and said, that's it. We're done here. And they left him and would no longer follow him. Now, you see, if they had just thought of him to be speaking in a metaphorical or a symbolic way, they would have said, well, okay, we're going to have a meal in his honor when he's gone. All right, fine. But listen, they understood him to be speaking literally, and he did not disabuse them of that notion. He meant what he said. The bread I'm going to give you is my flesh. The cup that I'm going to give you, it's my blood, and I expect you to eat it. So you see the vision here? How real Jesus wants us to understand the Eucharist? You know, if people began to really grab hold of this, there'd be a line to get in here. Are you praying with me? There would be a line to get in here. You know, some people say, well, if only I had lived in the time of Jesus, and I could see him with my own eyes and hear him with my own ears. And if only then I lived then, oh, I would run after Jesus and I would listen to him and I'd never miss a moment to be with Jesus. Guess what? He's here right now. And you're going to see him and you're hearing him right now. He's been teaching us out of his word. And in a few moments, he's going to come to this altar and he's going to say, this is my body. And he's going to use my voice. But you're going to hear these words, behold the Lamb of God. You're going to see him. Do you understand what we're teaching with the Eucharist? Don't tell me that you don't live in the days when you can see and hear Jesus. You do. We see him in a different way, with the eyes of our heart and the ears of our heart. But I pray you understand, Jesus is just as alive and just as much among us as he ever was before, and really in a more glorious way. Our fleshly eyes demand to see the way we're used to seeing. But the eyes of our faith, the eyes of our heart, confess that he is truly speaking to you right now, and you're going to see him in the Eucharist. Like those disciples on the road to Emmaus, he He blessed the bread, broke it, and gave it to them. And with that, their eyes were open, and they recognized him. That is the journey that all of us are on, to recognize him in Holy Communion every Sunday. Amen? Now, that is the first aspect of the teaching today. If you will, the reality of the Eucharist. The reality. Let's move next to the requirement of the Eucharist. If you're taking any notes, just jot this down. John 6:53. John 6 and verse 53. If you're not taking notes, burn it into your brain. Write it on the inside of your skull. John 6, verse 53. And Jesus says this, unless. Young people, just say that word, unless. I didn't hear you. Unless. Unless you eat the flesh of the Son of Man and drink his blood, you have no life in you. Say it again, unless. That's a strong word, isn't it? It means if you don't do it, something doesn't happen. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. Do you see how essential the Eucharist is for us? Jesus is not playing around, is he? He's being very clear. We have got to receive his body and blood. We've got to receive it frequently. Now, I know there's a lot of questions that come up about it, but before I address those, let's go back to the image that Jesus is using. He has said that I'm the living bread that came down from heaven. Now, all of this teaching about why we have to receive him goes back to the Old Testament. Now, you may remember that the people of Israel were enslaved in Egypt. And God sent Moses, and Moses finally convinced Pharaoh to let them go. But then Pharaoh began to pursue them again, and God opened up the Red Sea and led them through. On the other side, they were singing a song that all the people praise him, just like you were singing earlier, right? They were singing, I will praise the Lord, for he is gloriously triumphant. Horse and chariot he has cast into the sea. Yes, let all the people praise him. But no sooner did that song end than they started to look around. And they went to Moses and they said, Moses, what have you done? You have brought us into a desert. There is no food here, and my stomach is already growling. Moses, we have no food to eat. Where is this God of ours? He's just parted the Red Sea hours ago, and they're already complaining. God says to Moses, tell those folks to get up early tomorrow morning, and I'm going to show them the food that I will give them. So they got up early the next morning, and they went out on the desert floor, and lo and behold, there was a dough-like substance there on the floor of the desert. And they were able to gather it up and knead it like dough and bake it like bread. And they called it manna. Now, I've already talked to you about Latin, and I've talked to you about Greek. Now I'm going to talk to you about Hebrew. See, the word manna in Hebrew means, and you got to scratch your head when you say it. What is this? In Hebrew, manu, which means, what is it? So they called it, what is it? It's kind of a Hebrew way of saying, whatchamacallit. Manna means, what is it? It was a mysterious, a hidden food, and God gave it to them every day. And every morning he said, go out and gather it up, knead it like dough and bake it like bread, and it will be the food that will sustain you in your journey across the desert. I'm not going to let you starve. I'm going to feed you. And so every day they did that. And they also called it bread from heaven. They called it the living bread from heaven. And they called it the bread of angels. They had all kinds of titles for it, but they knew that God had sent it from heaven to feed them. And it says that for 40 years in the desert, While they journeyed by stages to the promised land, God gave them that manna. And then they entered the promised land, and it says, the day they entered the promised land, the manna ceased. Because now they would feed on the fruit of the Holy Land, of the promised land. Now, that's the background. So do you understand now what Jesus means when he says, I now am the living bread come down from heaven for you to eat and not die? You, look around, church. We're in a desert. You say, well, Father, there's lots of trees out there. I'm saying we're in a desert. Are you praying with me? We're not in the promised land yet, are we? So that means we're still in the desert. And we've got to eat. And the Lord says, as necessary as that manna was for them in the wilderness, and without that manna, they would have died in that desert and never made it to the promised land. As necessary as that manna was for them, so now this manna, this living bread, this holy communion is necessary for you. Unless you eat my flesh and drink my blood, you have no life in you. You are dying in the desert. You got the vision? Pretty strong image, isn't it? And so it is. The Lord says, eat. Don't miss a meal. You've got to have strength for the journey. The requirement of the Eucharist. Now, I know questions come to mind. What about people that can't receive communion? There are some here today who are in situations where they're not able to receive Holy Communion. There are some people who are simply ignorant of needing to receive Holy Communion. They just were never taught about it. And so on. We can think of people that don't receive Holy Communion. What about them? Does that mean they're going to die and go to hell? And I'm not here to tell you that. I'm just going to tell you what Jesus said, that you got to eat. Now, maybe the Lord has another way of feeding or taking care of them. He hasn't told us that, but he simply, that's his business. I want you to know something, though. Do not go on thinking that it's no big deal if your spouse doesn't come to church on Sunday. Do not go on thinking it's no big deal if you skip church. Don't go on thinking it's no big deal if your children or grandchildren have never been to church in years. I'm telling you that Jesus says they're starving. And you got to be urgent about that. Thank God I look out today and I see most of you that you're here almost every Sunday. Praise God. Something in you gets it. But look at some of these empty pews, and we're in summer mode. Church is going to look a little empty for the next few months. I hope that even on your vacation, you find a church and don't miss a meal. Do not miss a holy meal with God. You got to have strength for the journey. And some of the biggest temptations are on vacation. Got to have strength for the journey. Are you praying with me? We've got to bring our loved ones back to God's table. There was a family in this church whose daughter stopped eating. The first day they were concerned. Second day a little more concerned. By the third and fourth day, now it's a major concern. Off to the doctor to find out the problem. How many of you who are parents would not move heaven and earth to get your children eating again if they stopped eating? You would know that there was something wrong. And you would take action. If that's true with physical food, how much more so with spiritual? Are the food we need for our spiritual journey? If your children aren't eating, you need to be urgent about it and say, you've got to get back to God's house with me. And they may say, oh, there you go again, Mom. But stay urgent about it. If your children and grandchildren, if your spouse and people you love are not eating of this holy food every Sunday, that is a problem. Don't blow it off like it's no big deal. Maybe God can take care of other people, but I don't want to get into all those particulars. I just want to say we know better. We've got to stay faithful to God's altar. We've got to eat, and we've got to get our loved ones to eat. So again, we've seen the reality of the Eucharist. And the requirement of the Eucharist. Now the final thing, and I'm going to get back to the title I've given. Are you a mouse or a man? I want to talk about the remembrance of the Eucharist. In the readings today, the word remember came up several times, and it's a very important word when it comes to Holy Communion, to remember. You heard what Moses said to the people, remember what God has done for you and how he cared for you in the desert and how he fed you with manna from heaven. Remember what God has done for you. And then he repeats it at the end of the reading. He says, don't ever forget what God has done for you. And when we come to the Last Supper discourses, Jesus says the same thing. This is my body, and this is my blood. Remember, do this in remembrance of me. Don't ever forget what I have done for you. Remember. Now, what does it mean to remember? If I were to, by the way, that is an English word, remember. What does it mean to remember? If I were to ask for a definition from one of our graduates, it's kind of one of those words that's hard to define because it's just something that we use so frequently. Remember. Okay, remember. But let me propose to you the following definition of remember. To remember is to have present in your mind and in your heart what God has done for you, so that you're grateful and so that you're different. To remember is to have vividly alive in your mind, in your conscious thoughts, what God has done for you, and to never forget it. And when this is alive in your minds, what God has done for me, I'm grateful, and I'm different, and I'm changed. God's been so good to me. And you know, if I forget that even for a moment, you know what starts to happen to me? I start to bend over and look at my shoelaces, and I get anxious, and I get angry and resentful when everything doesn't go my way. And the more vivid and alive in my mind and heart what God has done for me, the more vivid it is for me. I'm a man of hope. I'm a man of joy. And so this word remember is a very precious thing. It means to have alive and to be vividly aware in your mind and your heart what God has done for you. At the Last Supper, Jesus took bread and wine and said, this is my body. It will be given over for you. My blood will be shed for you. Do you know what Jesus Christ has done for you? He died so you and I could live. Don't ever forget what the Lord has done for you. Now that leads me then to my question. Are you a man or a mouse? Back when I was in seminary, we were asked a theological question about the Eucharist. That what if a little mouse ran across the altar and grabbed a consecrated host and ran off and ate it? Did the mouse eat the body of Christ? And the answer was, the theological answer was yes. Because that host, Holy Communion, it's not just a meaning that we project into it. It has a meaning in itself. It is the body of Christ. And even if an animal or a mouse runs off with one, they're eating the body of Christ. Remember, we don't project a meaning into it. It has a meaning, and we say amen to it. Now, but here's the second question that we were asked in class. See, we're back in class again, aren't we? Okay, the mouse receives the body of Christ, but does the mouse experience a sacrament? No, it doesn't have a mind. In other words, to experience the Eucharist as a sacrament, where I am changed and his fruits begin to bear fruit in my life, that requires a heart and a mind that are aware and know and remember what Jesus Christ has done and what he's doing for me. And so here's the question regarding Holy Communion. Are you a man or a mouse? Is the Lord going to touch your mind and heart today? Or are you just going to knock back the host into your mouth without even thinking and go right back to your pew, completely unaware that you've received the Lord of glory, like a mouse would? Where is your heart and where is my mind when we receive Holy Communion? Are our hearts and minds alive, saying, "Thank you, Lord"? Are our minds vividly lit up with everything that God has done for me so that when I come up this aisle, I can say, "I'm about to receive the Lord of glory. Thank you, Jesus. I'm about to be fed by you, and I'm going to be changed by this holy communion with you"? Or am I just coming up like a mouse to get the wafer and go off and eat it? Where are you? Where am I? I hope you can say, "Father, I'm alive, I'm a human person, and I'm ready to receive the Lord of glory." But you know something? An awful lot of people put more faith in Tylenol than they do the Eucharist. And I'll tell you why. They take Tylenol, they expect something to happen to them. They expect pain to go away, they expect healing. What do you expect when you come up this aisle? You know what a lot of people expect? Nothing. It's just a ritual. Time to go up and get the wafer. Thank God, Mass is almost done. Now, I pray, God, that's not literally true of anyone here, but you know, we can struggle with that, right? What do you expect today? Do you expect something from the Eucharist that you're to receive today? If Tylenol can take away your pain, how about Jesus? If Tylenol can bring healing, how about the Lord? Too many people just turn this all into a tedious ritual. Okay, it's finally time to go up and get the host. You're not going up just to get a host, you're going up to get Jesus. And I hope when you walk the aisles today that you remember, that you have vividly present in your mind that the Lord has done everything for you. That the Lord is feeding you in the desert, that he's caring for you, that every beat of your heart is a gift. Everything that the Lord has done, that your mind is lit up, that you're alive, and you're saying, "I am now going to be fed on the very body and blood of my Lord, and I am going to have strength for this week to get through this week, strength to get through the desert this week because of this food, Jesus, that I receive." Am I a man or am I a mouse? That depends, doesn't it, on what's going on up here and in here. Incredible fruits are available from the Holy Communion. And so the Lord is simply saying to us today, never forget. Have vividly alive in your mind what I have done for you and what I am doing for you. And graduates, I want to just say to you, you have a lot to be thankful for today. We're praising you because of what you've done. But you know what? I got news for you. You didn't do it. God did it. God did it all. You say, no, I really studied hard. You could not study if God did not give you a mind. And you could not study if God didn't give you material to study. And if your heart wasn't beating, and if God hadn't given you a mind and a heart to stay focused. Oh, we ought to praise you, yes. But what we're really saying is, to God be the glory. Because God's glory is shining in you right now. Because of these accomplishments. Because you have stepped up. That because you're ready to go to the next level in life. But God got you here, and God's going to get you every step of the way. Oh, never forget what the Lord has done for you. For all of us, never forget. I'll just conclude with an old song. It simply says, "I really love the Lord." See, you don't know what he's done for me. Gave me the victory. I love the Lord. In other words, there's something alive in my heart and my mind and I always remember what the Lord has done for me. And I always bring it to this Holy Communion, thinking and remembering what the Lord has done for me. And the Lord is saying, do this in remembrance of me. Yes, yes, I really love the Lord. You don't know like I know what the Lord has done for me. But I do know, and that means I'm a man, I'm not a mouse. Amen.